Tim. Good to see everybody here this morning. Regarding the directories, actually we're out of them, so we got to get more printed. They are kind of a hot item, so folks like to have those, so we'll have more for you next week. You know, and as far as the men's dinner, you know, we have every, you know, every Wednesday we've been doing Men of the Cross here for a few months. The dinner was something we wanted to do the first Wednesday of every month. So just, like Tim said, even if you don't normally come, I encourage you to come. 6:30, Tom Yockel's making chili. Where is he? Is he here? There you are. There you are. So, it'll be good. It'll be good. So, I'm back to where we left off last week. I'm calling this loving, growing, reaching. I want those words to just flow off your lips and penetrate your heart. And you're going to see it more and more around. There's stuff being developed and designed, you know, where you're just going to see this. I don't know if you noticed, you probably noticed when you came in this morning, the logo on the windows, and that's thanks to Ben and Ashley Sugar. Ashley made those, and Ben put them up. And you know, they just, and the reason I bring that up, and I'll show you in a couple of weeks, next week, or I'm not sure when, how that image, you know, it's actually here too. I don't know if you can see it very well, but how that image represents this mission, our purpose of loving, growing, reaching, each one of the pieces of that logo, and it all ties together. And so as I began last week to lay out that vision, I want, you know, in this new season that we're in, you know, how we move forward as a congregation. And I hope it's a vision that we can all embrace. And because the heart of the Christian faith is centered around God's love for us, right? And our love for Him, reciprocating that love for Him, loving Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others as ourself, because that is the centerpiece of the Christian faith, that has to be the centerpiece of our mission as a church. That has to be our top priority, right? What's the most well-known verse in the Bible? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's part. He took the initiative. Praise God that He didn't wait for us, right? He took the initiative. That's His part. And then our part, we love Him. We reciprocate that. We love Him because He first loved us. That's our part, giving love back to Him. He demonstrated His love through the cross, and He asks us to reflect that priority in how we live our lives out on a daily basis. Now, it all centers around this verse, which is very well known. This is very, very straightforward, basic stuff, but sometimes we lose the simplicity. Right? We have a tendency as human beings sometimes to overcomplicate things. Anybody else have that problem besides me? Where you just overcomplicate things? This is it. You know, when Jesus was questioned, what is the greatest commandment? And as I've said, and you know, again, I hope I'm right, because I'm just repeating what I've heard over the years, that there's 613 laws in the Old Testament. And so this man comes to Jesus, this teacher of the law sort of person, and says, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. That is the greatest commandment. That's the term that we use for that right there. And it's found not just in, this is Mark 12, but it's found in the other Gospels, at least Matthew and Luke. And the greatest commandment reflects what we call our core values. What is at the center of our life? What's the most important thing? Our core values. And core values answer a very, very specific question, a very important question. You see, because when we start talking about mission and purpose and vision, we're talking about the what, and we're talking about the why, and we're talking about the how, you know, sort of things. We're trying to answer those questions. Well, core values answers this question. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? And I know that sounds simple, but as I said just a second ago, we have a tendency to overcomplicate things. And we miss the simplicity of the gospel. This has got to be at the center. This has got to be this greatest commandment. That has got to be at the center of what we do. It has to come back to this. That's the foundation. You know, remember last week I had the three pillars up there, the loving, growing, reaching. Pillar number one, loving God, loving others, receiving His love for us. And what is, we all know that, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, we know what Paul says. Many of us, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. There is no substitute. This has to be what motivates us at the deepest level of our being. Nobody can do your loving for you, right? This is something that we have to take to heart. And don't just, I know the tendency sometimes is just to give a passing glance to something like this, you know, and say, of course, Pastor Tim, I know that. We all know that. Come on, I came here today to hear the meat of the word. I think we should ask the Lord, show us, Lord, If this is the foundation of my life, is this the way that I am living my life? It is so easy when I talk about simple things, when I talk about basic things, about the message of the gospel, to just check off that box. Say, I know that. My goodness, I'd get that right on the test. That's like a bonus question. It's so easy. Right? I feel like maybe some, and myself included sometimes, if we're honest, might acknowledge that this isn't always at the heart of what we do. Amen? Anybody else, you know, feel that same way sometimes? Remember what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. The first, you know, he spoke to the seven churches. And the first one was the church of Ephesus. And what was the issue that he had with the church of Ephesus? They had left their first love. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You've done so many things. You've done a lot of good things. But in your serving and in your doing, you have lost sight of the most important thing. And that can happen in my life. And that can happen in your life. And it probably happens more often than we want to acknowledge, where we lose sight of this. When Jesus is addressing the seven churches in Revelation, it is no coincidence, I do not believe, that this was the very first thing. That this was the very first thing that he addressed when he spoke to the church of Ephesus, that they had left their first love. Now, I hope I've said enough to reinforce the place of love in the Christian life. Receiving God's love and giving back our very best to Him, loving others, that's everything. That's everything. But here's the, you know, this is the question that rolls around in my head. Thinking as a pastor, what is the church's role in helping people live that out in their lives? Right, you know, demonstrating it, obviously. Modeling it, setting an example, I hope. Is it just standing up here and say, you need to do this, it's really important. Okay, check that box off. I told, you know, I reminded everybody what's at the center of this, and you know, so I've done my job. You know, a big part of this is internal, right? I said this, sorry. No one else can love God for you, right? And no program can substitute for the love of God. I remember years and years ago, I heard a woman speak. And at the time, I would guess, my goodness, it's dangerous to try to guess a woman's age. But, you know, I would guess maybe she was, you know, in her 40s at the time or 50s. She was older than us when Lori and I heard her speak. I do recall that. I don't know if it's safe to even say that. But she grew up in a Christian home. She grew up in a pastor's home. I hope that's one and the same. and she did all the things as a teenager that you would expect of a teenager growing up in a Christian home / pastor's home. She went to church. She went to youth group. But I remember this is one of those lines that just sticks with me some 30, 40 years later, I guess, probably. She said, but I let my daddy do my praying for me. And she was talking, I mean, she had come to a place where she was in a much different and a much better place in her walk with the Lord. And she was very, very serious about her walk with the Lord. But she talked about how as a teenager, you know, my daddy's a pastor, I'll let him do my praying for me, right? Nobody can do your praying for you, and nobody can do your loving for you. Amen? But I believe even though it is a very personal thing, that the church has a role and a responsibility to help each other, to help one another live this out. We have to foster an environment where that core value is central in all that we do, where it's emphasized, where it's talked about, where it's demonstrated, where it's lived out. God's love for us, our love for Him, loving one another inside and outside of the church. I haven't said anything that you don't probably already know, I would assume, right? But this is where it gets down to the nitty-gritty. Here's a question. What does every person who calls Harvest Christian Fellowship their church home, their church family, what do we have in common? Now, there's a lot of different ways you could answer that. There are a few different ways that you could answer that. Let me say it this way. What is the one thing that every one of us, most every one of us, we're still dealing with COVID and the pandemic and all that stuff, but what is the one thing that most everyone who's a part of Harvest does on a regular basis? This is very simple. Right? We come to church, right? What we're doing right now. We're here in the house of the Lord. We come together and we purposely call this a worship service. A worship service. I know this is very deep. And I'm prepared to get pushback from people. Pastor Tim, there's more to the Christian life than going to church, right? I know that. We all know that. Going to church, forgive me for this whole thing. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger, right? There's a lot of folks who are churchgoers who are not true followers of Jesus. And I know that sometimes as a church we can put too much emphasis on just simply going to church and not enough about living out that life the other 6 days of the week. I get all that, right? How many times I've shared this with you before, you know, I say to somebody, are you a follower of Jesus or whatever term, you know, are you a disciple? Are you a whatever, you know, have you surrendered your life to Him? And people say, well, I go to church. I say, well, you didn't answer the question, right? You didn't answer the question. So we all know that. We don't need to argue about that. Trust me when I say, I get that. I'm with you and I completely understand. But sometimes in our reaction or our overreaction to things, well, you know, we put too much emphasis on, you know, just being in church, just being in church. We let the pendulum swing so far in the other direction and we miss the obvious. This is what we do on a consistent basis. We come together not just out of, hopefully, God forbid, not just out of obligation, not just out of, well, this is a habit and this is, I mean, there's nothing wrong with good habits. But sometimes we miss the obvious. At men's group Wednesday night, I was sharing just a little funny story I had heard a couple, 3 months ago. And it's a story about Sherlock Holmes and Watson. And they went on a camping trip together. And so one night they're laying there in their sleeping bags under the stars, and it's a crystal clear starlit night, and Holmes says to Watson, when you look up in the heavens, what do you see? And he said, well, Holmes, spiritually speaking, I just see the handiwork of God. I see his awesome creation, the beauty of his creation, and astronomically speaking, I see the constellations, and I think about, you know, the Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years wide. Think about that. And it's one of possibly billions of galaxies in the universe. You can't even comprehend all this stuff. And I think about that, and philosophically speaking, I think about how insignificant I am in light of all this. And Holmes, what do you see? He said, Watson, I see that somebody stole our tent. I guess you, what's that, elementary? The point behind that little story is sometimes we miss the most obvious things. I know it's more than coming to church, but this is the front door. For most people, this is the front door. This is their, their introduction is probably you living your life out, right? At work, at school, wherever. But when they're going to take the next step, this is the front door. This is where people come. Let's not overcomplicate this. You know, and even the writer of Hebrews says that, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll get in trouble for this, but try as I may, I look for the footnote in the margin that says that only applies when there's not a global pandemic. And don't get mad. If you're watching online, don't get mad. I get it. You know, you have vulnerabilities, you know, health issues, and you're caring for an elderly parent or a loved one. I mean, I totally get all that. I am with you. I'm with you 100%. But I also know, and I talk to enough pastors to know that there's this sense that some people have simply adjusted over these months. And for all intents and purposes, this has just become this indefinite, ongoing thing. And that is not a good place to be. Because there are parts of our Christian life that we cannot live virtually, right? We cannot just live them through online stuff like that. I'm so grateful for it and all. But, you know, we've got to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So don't be mad at me. I'm not picking on folks. I totally understand. Talk to folks all the time. I get your situation, but don't let it become the new normal. Are there other connection points other than Sunday morning? Of course there are. There has to be. But for the vast majority of people, they walk through the doors. And that's their first introduction. Not necessarily their first introduction to Christ, but their first introduction to what it means to live within a community of Christians, a community of believers. It usually starts, like I said, with a witness and the demonstration of the life of a friend or someone. But it leads folks to participating in a corporate worship setting. Of course, we should live it out in our daily lives. Of course, others need to see us demonstrate the love of God. Of course, our actions day in and day out speak volumes. But this is the front door. So we need to keep our number one, most important core value at the center of what we do here. This is where I'm going. I hope this is starting to make some sense to you, why I'm talking about such basic things. Remember the three pillars, the loving, the growing, the reaching. And this is pillar number one. We've got to keep it at the center of what we do. We want people to encounter the love of God when they walk through these doors. Amen? In the way we interact with them, with one another, the way we worship, the way we teach and preach, the way we pray. I love it when, and I know we don't do it perfectly, but I love it when somebody says to me, and it's happened to me quite a few times, where somebody says to me, this church just seems to be such a loving group of people. I'm like, yes! We're doing something right. We do a lot of things wrong. I should say wrong, but you know, we got to improve on a lot of things. But yeah, we're doing something right. Our goal, whether someone is mature in the faith or whether they are simply searching to know God for the very first time, is we want them to have a genuine encounter with the love of God. Amen? We want them to know His love for them. And they're going to see it through us. And the way we live our lives and the way we interact with them and such. I know it has to happen outside the church. I hope I don't have to keep repeating myself about that. The church in here needs to be the church out there, right? One of the biggest challenges, though, think about this. I have been involved in so many outreaches over the course of my 40 plus years of being a Christian. Big events. You know, I think of Ride for Life. Remember we did Ride for Life here a couple of years ago? We did it 2 years in a row, probably 3 years and 2 years ago. You know, I don't remember the exact years, but, and I love Scott. We've actually been in contact recently. I love him. He is the real deal. He's not just a guy, if you're new and you don't know what Ride for Life is, he's a motorcycle stunt rider and he's got a team of guys and they do these crazy things. And then he shares his testimony, which is powerful. And it's amazing. And, you know, I remember the first time he came, and met with the PACT pastors, and I brought him, he lives in Ohio, Akron, Ohio, and he drove over. And everybody, just when that meeting was over, just looked at it and said, this guy is the real deal. He's not just a guy that rides a motorcycle and says something about Jesus, you know, at the end. I mean, he is all in. And I love him. And I love those times. Those were crazy good times of going from school to school and venue to venue and the fairgrounds and all the folks that came. And people did respond to the message of the gospel. But this has been my experience for all these years. It is very, very difficult to get those folks to connect with the church. It is very difficult. It doesn't happen that much. And the fruit doesn't... That sounds terrible because you're talking about a person. You know, when I say the fruit rots on the vine, I don't mean to, you know, it sounds terrible when you're talking about a person, but you know what I mean. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. I'm not saying we shouldn't invest the energy and the money and the time into doing all those things. If somebody came and said, hey, I'd be right in line. Come on, let's do that. Because I think there's just something about the Word of God going out into the community. You know, going out into the open air, I just think it does something. It changes the spiritual dynamics of the community. And I think it's a great thing. And maybe events like Ride for Life and all these other things that have done over the years, maybe they serve to plant seeds and water seeds. And then somewhere down the road, maybe somebody walks through the doors of a church and it all clicks. This is what they were talking about. You know, I heard about Jesus and such and, you know, I've done this for a long time and I've been deeply involved in many, many such things. And the retention rate is very meager on those sorts of things. So all I'm saying to you today, let's not overlook the obvious. There's nothing wrong with efforts to get people to come through the doors of the church. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It may be the most effective way, next to our own personal witness. That's a part of it. You can't eliminate that. But to connect them so they can begin, what's the second thing? Grow. Grow in their faith. It's not enough to say a prayer. It's not enough to, you know, at an event say a prayer. You got to grow in your faith. And this is the front door. This is where folks come, and this is the way they're introduced to how to walk out this life, or sometimes introduced to Jesus for the very first time. The cool thing about when people walk through the doors of the church building is that they get introduced right off the bat to the community of the church. And like I said, I hope that's a good thing. I think a lot of times it is. We can always do better. They get a sense of what it's like to be in a worship service, to worship God, and to just participate in something like this, the gathering of ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together. I remember Doug and Carolyn Mead, our dear friends. They both passed away. They're both in the presence of the Lord. And when Doug was an elder in our church, I remember one time he was sharing about how he and Carolyn went to their very first, I mean, maybe they had gone to church as kids or young, but the very first time they were seeking after God, they're searching after God, and they go to a church. It was a Pentecostal church, and they went there and they walked out after the Sunday morning service and said, those people are crazy, right? We're never going back. And they were back at 6 o'clock that same Sunday night, right? They were introduced to something. It was different for them, but they came back. We call it a worship service for a reason. It's that time that we take worship in the Lord, expressing our love for Him. And I know worship is more than a song, right? Was it Amy Grant? Who was it that wrote that song years ago? Or, huh? Worship. Oh, okay. There's another one too. Okay. But, yeah. You know what I'm saying. It's more than just singing a song and just a routine. It's a time of interacting with God. And I talked about that in the beginning of the service, you know, entering into His presence and encountering that. Worship and prayer and fellowship with God, falling more and more in love with Him. You know, and even think about this, and I know this may sound like I'm getting into the weeds a little bit, but even when we, you know, and I hope we do. I hope we do lots of special events, you know, here. And, you know, maybe you do a drama, maybe you do something special for Christmas or something special for Easter, or you have a concert or something like that, and you get people to come, and that's awesome. Maybe we bring Chris Tomlin here. maybe not, but, and you invite all your friends and everybody comes, and you know what I'm saying, and that's awesome. And some people give their hearts to Christ, and that's double awesome. And they say, hey, that was great. If you do that again next year, let me know. I'll come back. Right? And that's what happens so many times. Because they haven't experienced what it is just to be in the house of the Lord with the fellowship of God's people, worshiping God, learning, growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, learning how to live this life out with one another. They haven't experienced that. They experience, and there's a place for those things. They experience a concert, which is beautiful. Maybe it's really a worshipful time. Hey, this is awesome. If you do it again, let me know. We do something constantly, continually. This is what we have in common. And you know, I know we're putting a lot of emphasis on online stuff, and I know that, you know, folks say, well, how does that fit in here? You know, if coming through the front doors of the church on a Sunday morning is kind of a lot of people's introduction into the life of living for Jesus and such, then to me the online stuff is kind of peeking in the window. You know? What's it like? What are they doing there? You know? And we're invested, thanks to a generous gift, we're investing a lot in video equipment. Rick and Eladio and Jack, we're building a video booth that's over in the other, in the fellowship hall, bringing it in, and we've got our video equipment. And, you know, but here's the thing, we're not some big TV ministry that's thousands of miles away. We're just a few miles down the road maybe, and somebody say, hey, I saw that and I want to be a part of that, or you invite them and such like that. Doesn't it make it easier for people just to keep their distance and just, you know, watch it? Yeah, that can happen. But I hope that it will also draw others to the house of the Lord so they can meet you, but most importantly, they can meet Jesus and enter into this life. You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago, this thing I kind of borrowed from Billy Graham, the Operation Andrew, you know, the idea, you know, Andrew encountered Jesus and he went and got his brother Simon Peter, and he brought him. And how that kind of became a mainstay of Billy Graham crusades. You know, find people, ask the Lord to show you people that you can just bring with you to the crusade. And how that's how my dad came to know the Lord, was me inviting him to go to the Billy Graham crusade at Silver Stadium. I have to think back for a second. And so I've taken that very seriously, where I've got about half a dozen people in my prayer journal. I'm praying for that opportunity and trying to invite them. And I haven't had success yet, but I hope you take that seriously. And I would encourage you to do this, because this is, what I'm ultimately saying, this is where we introduce people, and again, knowing everything that happens out there, this opportunity, when we gather, this isn't just something we do because it's, you know, whatever, you know, because it's expected of us. This is a real place, this is a vehicle where people can come face to face with the love of God. Let me close just by saying this and give you the bigger picture. There are three things that I'm asking and the elders are asking of folks in the congregation. One is that you would come and participate in corporate worship and grow in that love relationship with God and with one another. Be together in settings like this. And secondly, is to grow in your faith. To, you know, that's the loving, growing, reaching, to grow in your faith. So we're asking folks to come, be here, you know, on Sunday, worship together, you know, enjoy the fellowship, love God, love one another, and then find a way through a small group, through Sunday school, to connect on a smaller level, on a smaller group level, so that you can grow in your faith. And then the third thing is reaching. Find an impactful way that you can reach others for the gospel. Sometimes, like I said, we overcomplicate things. Love God, grow in our faith, you know, love God and others, grow in our faith, become mature, fruit-bearing disciples of Jesus, and reach others for the gospel. I know that's very simple, but I truly believe that that's at the heart of what we're called to do, and that's what we're trying to emphasize and just rehearse that before you and let it become a part of your heart. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I would say this, if you have never known the love of God, if you're here today or if you're listening online, if you've never known His love, God so loved the world, but to as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. You know, the interesting thing about love, which was obviously my focus today, and how we live that out corporately and obviously individually, is you never grow past it, right? It's like, okay, I've got that down. Now I'm going to move on to the next thing. Love, because it's the foundation for everything we do. It has to be the deepest, like I said, the deepest motivation at the deepest levels of our heart. So if you're listening or if you're here and you just know that maybe something is not right, there's something, whether you've known Christ and you've just let your heart grow cold, I just encourage you to come back to Him. This is what it's all about. Lord God, as we just come to You now, we ask that You would search our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, that You would show us where we are at in our lives, and if we have fallen prey to that insidious thing of leaving our first love and getting so busy, and trust me, I know what that is about, become so busy And so, you know, we become satisfied just because we're doing a lot of stuff and we're busy and we think this is what it's all about. God, you are calling us back to our first love. And for any of us that just, and this isn't just, I'm going to change, I'm going to do better. This was an issue of repentance for the church as Jesus spoke to them in Revelation 2. This was an issue of repentance. This isn't just a light thing where we try to do better tomorrow or beyond. This is an issue of repentance. So God, we ask you, Lord, if we're guilty of this, we repent of that before you, God, and pray that you would restore that passion. I think of David's words in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. A heart that loves you, a heart that is passionate for you and for others who are created in your image. If you've never received him, now is the time to say yes. He has demonstrated his love for you through the cross. There's nothing that you can do. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. The only thing that can is us. None of these external things, even demonic powers, nothing. It's just us not surrendering to you and not drawing close to you. So Father, we just repent as necessary and say, God, we want to just love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Just live this life out. Bring others to experience it. Live it out so they can see it and experience it and have the joy that comes from knowing and loving Jesus and being loved by him. We thank you for it in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Go love one another out in the hallway and then take it out in the lobby as we fellowship together and then take it from there and live it out in your life this week. God bless. You are dismissed.